B-Pod Studios.
The radio and online home of Boston sports.
You don't play quite as hard.
You're the Boston Celtics right now.
Too many guys like that
hurt your team.
That's why the talent is down.
98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5thesportshub.com. Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
When you walk into this building, where does your mind go first? I asked you where your mind was last, but where does it go first?
Home, where it all started. You know, Danny believed in me from day one, and my career probably wouldn't be the same if I went anywhere else.
5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for your Boston Celtics. And thank you, Danny, for joining us on a Friday. You usually join us on a Thursday, but we thought, wouldn't it be interesting after the trade deadline to have you on? Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can hear your smile through the phone.
By the way, we are. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Anything interesting happened yesterday at 3 o'clock?
Nothing interesting. But I am smiling this morning. It's a new day, but last night was tough.
Yeah, last night was tough. But, you know, to be quite honest, the fact that it was Rondo softens the blow just a little bit. He obviously said some very nice things about you in that clip we just played after the game. How often do you guys talk now that he's not a Celtic anymore? Because he obviously seems to think the world of you.
You know, Rondo and I were very close when he was here. And so whenever I just run into him and our paths cross, but not a lot. But I think we'll always have a good relationship.
When he went to the Pelicans or even like with the Lakers, did anybody ever reach out to you and ask you from either organization, tell me a little bit about Rondo? Because as you know, he's got a reputation for being just different than everyone else. He's extremely smart, but you know, there's a type of difficulty to, you know, it's like his way sometimes the highway. He can be very bullheaded, but underneath it all is a very good basketball player who's somewhat of a basketball genius.
You know, I think that Rajon is, you know, a little bit misunderstood in a lot of ways, but, you know, he can be challenging for some coaches, but I think he's really matured and he's had some great years in a row. I thought he played really well in Chicago and became a leader there. I mean, the year that we beat him in the playoffs, he orchestrated, you know, going up 2-0 against us that year. And then he ended up getting injured. And I thought he was really good last year in New Orleans. And you could see that he's playing really well right now with the Lakers.
Okay, Danny, there are reports that came out this week that the Pelicans had reached out to you guys and basically, there was a handshake-type nod of agreement of a package that might be put together. There were no specifics that were mentioned, but what can you tell us about those reports that have come out where you have spoken to the guys from the Pelicans?
You know, I can't really talk about players or trade talks I've had, as you know, Rich.
Sure. I just thought I'd try. This was the morning.
I don't know it. I don't know that you can't do it, so go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, you don't make deals going forward. I mean, I think that we're always looking to acquire special talent. And, you know, like, we'll just wait and see what happens. But there's absolutely no deals with any players or any organizations going forward. I mean, it doesn't even make sense to be able to do that. There's so many things that can change. You don't know where the player that you're trying to acquire's head is. You know, health issues can happen. I mean, there's just a lot of things. You just can't make deals so far in advance ever. And, you know, we'll just wait and see. Just like every offseason, you go into the offseason and you just don't know what's going to happen with many circumstances and many players. There's too many variables.
Well, how often does it happen? Like, can a team just speak with another team in principle about a deal that they might like to make in the offseason and kind of have a handshake deal unless there are extraneous circumstances like health that affect things?
No, I don't think that those things do happen at trade deadline. I'm not sure that's ever happened or and probably won't happen.
Okay, so when this deal ended up, when Anthony Davis ended up not getting traded, and I'll name him specifically because he's a guy that's been mentioned in all the reports and things, and there's been a lot of reports about some of these players that aren't named Kyrie Irving, you know, possibly on the, you know, being traded. And I know Kyrie was up for an extension, but when that happens and there is a lot of buzz that there might be a major trade that is made involving certain players. We've talked about how you have spoken and been completely honest with guys whose names have been mentioned in the trade. Was yesterday a day where you had to go speak with some of those players because of what did and did not transpire?
No, I do speak to some of the players based on some of, you know, the false reports that were out there, but I just try to get their head in the right place, just to focus on what they need to. But there were really no close deals. There was one player in particular that there was a lot of discussion with, and he's well aware of it. And was honest with him on that and why we didn't do it and what he needs to focus on for his career and for us finishing this year strong.
Do you believe that some organizations leak out players whose names are mentioned in potential deals in order to mess with the chemistry of another team?
I don't know. I don't think that that's the case. It seems to me that there's just so many leaks that get out, and it just seems to be that I don't know the reason why.
All right, so you mentioned...
I won't even speculate why that happens, but, boy, there's just so much out there. There's some national reporters that just seem to have information before I have information. And it's just crazy that that's the world we live in right now.
So you mentioned that you had to talk to a player yesterday because was there a deal on the table that at the deadline yesterday that you were looking to make?
Not that I was looking to make. I didn't go into this deadline with I was looking to make any certain deals. There were some things that I was listening to more than others. And, you know, listen, I don't know if this player's agent might have heard, got wind of it, and or, you know, from a few other teams that were trying to make some deals for him. But, you know, I just felt it was important just in case with the thin veil of information that exists in our world, like I just wanted to be the first one to tell him, and I wanted to be straightforward with him of what was going on because there's a chance he might have heard it anyway.
How'd the player take it?
He took it great. I think they appreciate that honesty.
Okay, how is your relationship with Dell Demps, the GM of the Pelicans?
I'm not sure that has any relevance, actually, but Dell and I have talked a lot over the years.
Is there, I'm only asking this because of my naivete, but is there any kind of like connection that you have? Like, have you worked with anybody who's within the Pelicans organization, or is there any kind of relationship that we are not aware of between you and anyone who works for the Pelicans?
No.
Okay.
No special ties.
All right. Well, Danny, you did make one deal yesterday. You sent Jabari Bird to Atlanta along with cash. And in doing that, you opened up a roster spot, and I assume you opened up a roster spot to give yourself flexibility to pick up a guy who's been bought out of his contract. And there is at least a couple out there and maybe a few more to come. Have you talked to any of these players that have been bought out of their contracts since that happened yesterday? I know Enes Kanter, who's played very well for the Knicks, is one of those guys. Have you spoken to any of these people yet?
Yeah, we've reached out to a couple guys, and we'll just see how it goes. You know, the challenge with the buyout market is we don't have any great holes, and so a lot of the guys are looking that are free agents, and they're they're looking for an opportunity to really play. And, you know, we just don't have that much of an opportunity for guys to come in and play. And, you know, last year we got Greg Monroe, and Greg Monroe helped us win some games in April, and he was a really good teammate and was around, and he got a, you know, ended up getting a job with Toronto this year. But, you know, we need, you know, our big guys are hurt right now. Baines has been banged up a little bit, and that's a little bit troubling, but we're confident that he's going to be healthy here very shortly, right after the All-Star break. But we don't really have a need at center or four man or small forward or shooting guard. You know, we've had problems with having too many players, and that's still the case. Our guys are all there, so we don't have any glaring holes that we need.
All right, Danny, we haven't talked to you since Kyrie Irving was interviewed in New York, where when he was asked about his commitment that he had made to the team at the beginning of the season, saying, you know, hopefully they'll re-sign me, I want to stay here. And that changed last Friday to talk to me on July 1st, and I don't know anything to anybody. What did you make of those comments from Kyrie?
Well, I think that the way I view the situation is that I think a lot of people, because of Kyrie's announcement at the beginning of the year, you know, thought that there was a marriage. And I think that it's more like an engagement, and we're going to get married on July 1st. And I think that that engagement is still on. As far as I know, in my individual conversations with Kyrie, we're still engaged, but we really can't, you know, make those vows, sign that contract until July 1st.
That's a beautiful time for a wedding.
Yeah. And so I just, you know, we do have to wait till July 1st to, you know, finish any deal.
Did you talk to him after those comments? Because if I'm the GM and I see that, it does kind of take me aback.
Just gotta check in.
Yeah. You just kind of gotta check in.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a couple of different conversations. Absolutely.
And how did you leave feeling after those conversations about Kyrie?
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Better than you know, maybe the mood of that initial press conference. I don't really know all that was going on, and you know, with him. But we have had some good conversations.
Did he give you any kind of indication as to why he didn't just say yes? Like I've said before, I'm going to resign with the Celtics.
I think that you'd have to ask Kyrie those questions. I think he's, I don't know. I think that he just doesn't like his name and all these rumors and associated with all these other players. And, you know, I think he likes to be his own man and have his own mind and his own opinions. But I feel like, you know, there's still a chance that on July 1st, he stays here, and that's what we're shooting for. We still have a date on July 1st.
Yeah, he's probably sick of answering the question over and over again. Now, Danny, some of your rivals in the East improved at the trade deadline. What are your feelings about some of the moves that the teams in the Eastern Conference made?
Yeah, you know, I think that one thing that we've really found out this year, you know, we've always known this, but sometimes having a lot of talent is hard to figure out how it all works. And we like our team, and it's not about what the team is on paper. You got to figure it out on the court. Some teams it works easier than others. Some teams come together very quickly, but I like our team. I think that, you know, last night's victory was not good. We did not play good. We did not play as hard as we need to play to be good, to be successful. But I have liked how our team has played over this last 2 months. And I like how our offense and our defense has been getting better over these last 2 months, and how our bench has been coming around. And we're just getting a lot of good play out of a lot of good players. I see improving over this time. And it's taken us a little while to really get that to go. I mean, our first 20 games were a trial. And Brad made some changes. And from the time he made those changes, our team has really thrived. So I you know, just what a team looks like on paper doesn't really matter.
Right. So what
you do it on the court.
So what you're saying is, if you make a deal at the trade deadline, it can be difficult because you have to establish that chemistry rather quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's important, and I think continuity is important. I think that if somebody, we have a lot of players that have been with us through the playoffs last year, and Brad can go back into the playbook and call something at the drop of the hat, and our guys know what it is, know the terminology of what our team, our defensive coverages are, and I think there's great value in continuity.
What'd you get to do with KG when he was in town?
We had a chance to talk for a while. It was really fun to see KG. He wanted to do a tour of the practice facility, but we just reminisced and chatted and caught up, and it was fun. It was great seeing KG yesterday.
All right, and finally, LeVar Ball has come out and said that Lonzo Ball is better than LeBron James. Thoughts?
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but where has he been?
I think he was like a cat cornered because he thought that his son was about to get traded. So he goes, I'm just going to go nuts, and started throwing haymakers. And then all of a sudden 3 o'clock comes around and goes, oh, now my son's got to deal with all the stupid stuff that I just said.
Yeah. Now he's to deal with the collateral damage of what I've done.
So that's where he was, Danny.
Okay.
All right.
He said LeBron's old.
He called LeBron old.
If you're having a bad day, Danny, just turn that on. You'll feel better immediately.
All right. Danny Ainge, thank you so much for the time as always, sir.
Well, you know, we also haven't talked since we had a chance to watch to win a Super Bowl either.
That's true. Did you watch the game?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was an amazing playoff run by this Patriots team. I mean, we talked last time, this Patriots team was not, one of the special Patriot teams over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. But they got that running game going in the playoffs, and I think that was why they're Super Bowl champs. I mean, the defense was ridiculous against the Rams. But that was fun. I mean, that was unbelievable.
And you're a huge fan of Maroon 5, so it was a bonus, right?
No, I I was a fan until I watched the Super Bowl halftime show.
The only thing I can tell you about is we now know the singer Maroon 5 has super cool tattoos.
They've lost you for good, Danny. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny was Danny was a five head. And then he took all the posters down off his wall. All right, Danny, yes, the Belichick thoroughly outcoached McVay. You could tell who was the veteran in that game.
Without a doubt, without a doubt.
All right, Danny Ainge, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate it.
Who was the player?
I know.
Who's the player?
Interesting.
Danny said that there were some serious talks for a player, so much so that he went and spoke with the player. Now,
apparently that people had talked about a deal involving the player.
That's what I'm saying. Danny, but he said he wanted to talk to him because he thought that he might end up finding out about it. So I wonder if there's anybody that was rumored on any of the insiders were tweeting about a certain. See, to me, I immediately think Terry Rozier. I mean, it's the first name that just pops in my head.
I never saw anything about Terry Rozier.
I didn't either. Point. But when you think, like, who's somebody that there would be real, like, trade talk about, Terry Rozier is somebody that you could get a lot for right now.
But, I mean, there were no trade rumors swirling around the Celtics at all.
No, nobody. Nobody. So maybe I'm just not looking in the right place, or maybe they did such a good job squashing it that it didn't happen. But Danny told us there were some pretty deep trade talks involving a member of the Celtics, and that ended up not happening.
I'm surprised the B-ball boys don't know a little bit more about what's going on.
We didn't wear our jackets today. The B-ball gang did not wear our jackets, right, which make us like super cool and know all about the B-ball.
Yeah, there's no satin jackets in the house. All right, so we will return.
Games are only half of it.
Imagine, loser.
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
Was yesterday a day where you had to go speak with some of those players because of what did and did not transpire?
No, I did. I do speak to some of the players based on some of the false reports that were out there, but not. I just try to get their head in the right place, just to focus on what they need to. But there were really no close deals. There was one player in particular that there was a lot of discussion with, and he's well aware of it. And was honest with him on that and why we didn't do it and what he needs to focus on for his career and for us finishing this year strong.
How convenient. My brilliant follow-up question was not included in that, but...
What was the follow-up?
John, what was my follow-up question?
I don't even remember.
You were going to ask the same thing.
I know, and I know. I pointed at you like that's what I was going to ask, and I can't remember what the question
I
was.
I said, so yesterday there was trades on the table, and then that you were going to make a move yesterday, and then he said, Yes.
And do we have a second one in here? I'm sorry, what's that, Dan?
Well, obviously no one thought it was important. Mm. I mean, obviously everyone just goes...
I was trying to tell Rich that Rich had the follow-up question after that, not you.
But then I made the follow-up.
No. Fred did have a good question.
He did.
I've got to give it to him.
Fabulous question.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, Fred. Fred, he's not one of the B-ball boys.
No, he doesn't have the satin jacket, but you came through. That was good.
He doesn't know as much about basketball as John and Rich. Oh, hey.
We're just happy you were part of the conversation.
The NBA is not his favorite sport.
Yes, you asked a very good follow-up question. Well, I just don't remember what it is.
It's too little too late.
I'm sorry, Frank. Is there anything I can do to make it up to you?
No.
I think you're a really good question asker, Fred. You ask really good questions.
I paid attention.
You did.
I'm happy about that.
How can you not? This was a good one.
When you guys had Mannix on, you had to snap your fingers at me to end the end.
Yeah, I know. So, Fred, over here.
That's the only thing we could ask.
I got a little...
It's time to end the interview, Fred.
I was texting.
Wrap this up.
I was texting, which I apologize.
But you know what? Okay, so two things that came out of that. Well, I mean, there's the one interesting thing, obviously, that there was a mystery player who had been discussed and, deep enough to where Danny Ainge had to go and talk to him just to kind of ease his mind.
I was thinking about this during the break. I think you're right. It has to be Rozier.
It's got
to
be Rozier.
That's the only guy that you could think about dealing out of the group that you have that would make any sense. Doesn't make sense, but he's the guy who's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the
expiring
season.
Expiring contract.
If you were going to deal him, that would be it. And as far as Danny's saying he doesn't necessarily need anyone to add to the team, then why create a roster spot?
Well, it's because you have a wasted roster spot.
I understand
what's his face being injured and having injury problems.
Aaron Baines. Yeah.
I think it's a big guy. I mean, honestly, if you added a guy like Cantor, I think it'd be great for this team.
Here's the main thing. The other main thing you can take from that is that Danny Ainge said that he went and talked to Kyrie Irving after that whole "ask me on July 1st" type comment that he made. And he said that after his discussions, he feels a lot better about the future of Kyrie Irving here than his comments seem to have indicate. And I've heard that spun a bunch of different ways as far as Kyrie Irving just being frustrated that his name is being thrown out there by other writers and players that believe that his future is dictated by where someone like Kevin Durant goes or somebody like that. I can totally tell that pisses him off to no end. But whether or not that's 100%, like that makes me feel like a ton better that Danny Ainge talked to him. I don't know. I liked what he said. I believed it. He said that it's right now. We thought it was a marriage. It's more like an engagement, and we're getting married on July 1st.
Which, again, is an excellent time of year to get married.
Which went right over Danny Ainge's head.
As do most of the things that I say. We can't be intellectuals.
You got to be next level smart, and ask really good questions, Fred. It was really, really good.
Well, not according to what we play around here. Go ahead. What?
I don't know how can I make it up to you, Fred?
Just steer the ship.
Okay.
I'm just
the B-boys, as you say, the B-ball boys are going to steer this one?
Yeah, you guys steer the ship. The B-ball boys.
When we come back, The very first clip I will play is your amazing and awesome follow-up
question. No,
because
now it's not going to sound good. it's like telling someone
beforehand, yeah. This is kind of like pandering to Fred, and that sounds
bad. Yeah, it's like having a bad opening act if you're a comedian.
It's too late.
They kill the room.
All right. Just know that we know, that you know, Fred. You know
all
what
right,
I'm saying?
Rich, what do we have coming up?
That's a lot to digest there, that Danny Ainge thing. All right, we will talk about Tom Brady a little bit more from his Shave-a-Palooza over at Gillette, where he answered some hard-hitting questions. On top of that, you know what? Maybe we'll dig in one more time to LeVar Ball and him losing his mind just a bit.
Okay, we will have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich, and LeVar Ball has not been around for a while, but when the trade deadline came up and there are rumors of him being moved, or Alonzo, I'm sorry, being moved to over there to New Orleans. It became time for LeVar to speak up.
Yeah, I mean, because he just seemed like this was a last-ditch effort to almost threaten the Lakers into not signing him, as if he thinks he has that kind of power. But he went on Speak for Yourself, that show on FS1 with Shannon Sharp, who I like very much. Undisputed. God, I don't do this on purpose. I get them all
who
mixed
cares?
Up.
No one knows.
Either way, Shannon Sharp and, of course, the dude who works out all the time, Skip Bayless. And LeVar Ball had this to say. Now, just, okay, remember, this is before the trade deadline. Now that the trade deadline has gone and passed, and LeVar Ball or Lonzo Ball is still a member of the Lakers, how tough does this make your life this morning?
I told the Lakers a long time ago, if you trade my son, it'd be the worst thing you ever did. And I guarantee, they trade my son, they will never get a championship. Because what they're trying to do is be the one-hitter quitter. Trying to get all these players. It ain't the players, it's the coach. Mm. You don't have the coach, you out of luck. So you can get as many players as you want. If you don't have a system or you don't understand what you're getting ready to do, you're not going to win. I don't care. You can get everybody that's good.
That's right. Cleveland's going to the finals all those years in a row was due to the fantastic coaching that was going on.
Sure, of course. I just, once again, it's bad. It's bad form to do that. Your kids on the team, don't rip the coach, obviously. However, I don't find this one to be too risky of a statement because LeBron James seems to want him gone.
Right.
Luke Walton.
Yeah, but he does start going after the hand that feeds.
So you're saying LeBron James without Lonzo cannot win a championship in Los Angeles?
LeBron James without Lonzo is not going to win a championship in L.A. I guarantee that.
And Lonzo is not the best player on that team now.
Are you crazy?
Are you saying Lonzo better than LeBron?
Yes.
Well, see.
You lost me on that.
Hey, I'll lose you again. I'll lose you again. You can't go there. LeBron getting older. I mean, I'll make Zoe better than LeBron if I'm coaching because I'm going to let him loose.
Lonzo is better than LeBron. You know that's not true. You know that.
Why?
What you mean, why?
Why? Why? Why? Because LeBron been in the league for 15 years? I mean, how do you judge LeBron being better than my son? I ain't going to say nobody better than my son.
It's okay if it's true.
But if my son can play, which I know what I put
into
him.
We're not saying he can't
play. As far as shooting and passing and playing and running, LeBron hurt. He's getting old.
Do you like how he takes credit for, like, everything?
Oh, sure.
Like, the way I taught him to shoot and pass and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think he really believes that he could coach an NBA team.
He essentially says it here.
No, I know, but I don't think it's all bluster. I think that he actually believes that.
Without a doubt.
He getting old.
LeVar.
He getting old.
LeVar.
I tell you this, he can't go Alonzo on that fast break.
LeVar.
Can't move that fast.
Your guy shooting 23% from the free throw line.
He can shoot 10%.
40% from the free throw line. How can he be better than the GOAT?
You talking about percentages shooting on free throws?
Okay.
Don't tell me about no free throws.
Okay, what about
he been in the league for a long time. What was LeBron shooting from the free throw line?
Like 60, 60.
I can tell you what. He been in the league a long time not be able to make no free throws.
He shot 40%.
He ain't got to shoot 40%.
He ain't never shot 20% from the three-point line.
He ain't got to shoot 20%.
Okay.
Okay, so many great things about that. Because first of all, is LeBron James is a pretty decent free throw shooter. Like, I've never, like, looked at him and gone, boy, this guy isn't any good.
This year he struggled. This is the one year where he struggled.
Okay, well, I haven't really seen it. I know yesterday I think they did a little
Everybody
bit.
Everybody struggled for the Lakers, but they made a point on the broadcast to say that this year LeBron has struggled shooting free throws.
Also, the one thing that we learned from that clip is that it's true. Lonzo Ball is shooting 40% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is that possible
for a point guard?
For a point guard.
Remember how bad Rondo was? At his worst, he wasn't below 60.
No, at his worst, I think he was 50.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think he was
50% at his worst.
All right,
but then you know you've got these guys who are just like monsters, these giants who have bad angles, like Dwight Howard.
Right.
Shaq was always bad.
DeAndre
Jordan.
Their hands are too big. Right.
Like, I understand that. I get that. How can you be a starting point guard in this league and shoot 40% free throws? Out of all of that, that's the one thing I took out of that. I mean, the ranting mess, just, oh boy, this guy isn't very good.
No.
Ooh, yeah. But thank goodness he's back. Because I, you know what? I didn't think I'd miss him. I miss you, LeVar Ball. You come out there with haymakers against LeBron James, and he's still on the same team as LeBron James, then bring it on. Bring on the drama.
Worst free throw shooter in the league is Hassan Whiteside at 43%. The reason Ball's not lower than him is because I've played in a while. I have enough to qualify to be part of the leader.
But you said the last he had a record, it was like 41%, right?
So he's at 41%.
So he's essentially the worst.
If he qualified, he'd have enough free throws to qualify, he'd be the worst. But Whiteside is 43%.
That's awesome.
The Kenan Thompson impression of LeVar Ball has got to come back.
It's pretty good. It's pretty great.
I think it's great.
And hopefully it will come back this way. All right. So you know how we talked about how Tom Brady, despite being obviously the greatest player to ever step on an NFL field, maybe even
the greatest quarterback.
You wouldn't say the greatest player?
I've been thinking about this, and I don't think it's fair to every other position. I think you can go the greatest quarterback of all time.
So you don't think you can compare positions and say, well, maybe just by
very deeply
success and what he meant to the success of the team?
I'm saying he is by far the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, well, I mean, listen, we're not going to start a controversial debate either way.
Well, listen, I don't mind.
Speak for yourself.
Come the tweets. Bring the calls.
Speak for yourself. Are you undisputed? All right. That's a hot take or whatever it's called. First take.
Mm. I'm yelling loudly in subtitles. That's what this is called.
Well, as great as he is, and he is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, as great as he is, he's also a regular guy. And if you read this article that came out at WBZBoston.com, they talk about his little thing that he did over at Gillette, where for charity, he got his beard shaved, which I didn't realize he had one, but he did have a playoff beard.
It's scruff.
And he did have a little scruffed. And it says, six-time Super Bowl winner Tom Brady had his playoff beard shaved off for charity and reflected how his wife Gisele Bündchen has used some unconventional methods to help him stay so successful. Fred, what once again was your whole theory about what Tom Brady does in the morning?
Is that he gets on a conveyor belt and it's like the Jetsons.
Right. They dresses him and just like puts him in the direction and tells him what to do. So basically there is a big Gisele machine that tells him what to do. He says, quote, you know, I've learned a lot from my wife over the years, Brady said, leaning back in a barber's chair at the Gillette World Shaving headquarters. She's so about the power of intention and believing that things are really going to happen. Brady said, Bündchen, quote, always makes a little altar for me at the game because she just wills it so much. And I have these little special stones and healing stones and protection stones. And she has me wear a necklace and take these drops that she makes. And I say all these mantras.
Yeah. So, hey, everyone go to TB12.
What are the mantras?
He's like an insane lady with 10
water
cats.
Water cures sunburns. Water cures sunburns.
What are you chanting?
A mantra is fine. What is disturbing about this is the believing in the power of crystals.
The protection stones. They're special stones.
Which is like an old lady with 10 cats that moves to Santa Fe.
He says, quote, I have these little special stones and healing stones and protection stones, and she has me wear a necklace and take these drops she makes. I say all the mantras, and I stopped questioning her a long time ago. I just shut up and listen. Brady at the time said, you know, first he thought it was a little crazy, but it worked. About 4 years ago, we were playing the Seahawks, and she said, you better listen to me. This is your year. This is all the things you're going to have to do to win. And I did all those things, and by God, you know, it worked.
You had a vision board.
Is there like a vision skateboard? We had a
vision
skater
board where you
something?
Take pictures and you put them on a board of your goals.
Okay, I see.
And you will them into being.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it, well, everyone knows about the power of crystals. I mean, that's been scientifically proven over and over again.
She said, yeah, you're going to have to do a lot of work, and you're going to have to listen to me. So, man, I listened to her. Bunchen was right, of course, again. Quote, she said, you're lucky you married a witch. I'm just a good witch.
One word, Tom. Enemas.
Right, having a protection enema.
Coffee enemas.
Sure. It's those healing enemas. And that will help you. So now, by saying this, is he completely dismissing everything that he's done on TB12? Because I thought that was the secret.
In conjunction with, again, you have to work really hard and listen to her, I think was the message.
It's amazing when you've been a beautiful woman who's been making money based on your looks for so long, what you can get people to do.
And those people do it because you are that person.
We need you to sift through the animal feces to find this hidden power on the inside. Oh, look, a half-eaten squirrel.
Jesus.
Make sure that you take the fat half-eaten squirrel and you light it on fire.
Hey.
James Stewart, what are you doing here?
Half-eaten squirrel.
I didn't say half-eaten cat. Oh, is this Kitty Litter, James Stewart?
Who's
Okay, well, thank you very much, Kitty Litter, James Stewart.
Hey, it's a reward. Look at it. I dropped it at the front door.
That's your sweet reward.
I got it for you.
Okay.
Pick it up. I killed it for you.
Well, I don't think that it's a wanted reward. I don't think anyone wants to see a half-eaten squirrel.
And I killed a bird. Come on. Kill. 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 I'll be under the shed.
All right. Be under the shed. We have to talk to Mark Bertrand of the crossover because he had a very interesting. And by the way, Mark Bertrand was a great sport about everything.
Yeah.
And he ended up winning the entire tournament. So I would, however, like to get his take on what ended up happening with John from Vegas, who essentially did one of the most epic troll jobs ever, making sure that Mark Bertrand won by bidding on him and then hiring a professional ping pong guy so that Mark Bertrand could not leave because apparently he had someplace to go and did not want to be there that long.
We can also discuss why Sarge just grabbed a microphone and randomly said, Fred, you're fat. based on nothing that was going on.
Fred hadn't said anything.
I hadn't said anything. All right, we'll be right back.
TNR.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter. At Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and very happy to have Scott Zolak
back.
Hey,
good morning.
There he is.
I'm kind of pissed you weren't here yesterday because I lost to your replacement, Bob Sweeney, in the ping pong tournament.
Oh, Jesus.
I think you and me, it might have been like a little bit more competitive.
How hammered was he?
I don't think he was hammered. I think
he's taking the month of February off. Actually.
Well, he'll be hammered then.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody drinks more than him.
But
I love Bobby. He's great.
Well, it's glad to have you back, man.
It's good to be back. I did not bang out after the Super Bowl. People thought I just blew it off. I did not.
No.
Just dealing with a family issue down in Florida. I appreciate the time off the station. Gave me to get away. It's tough when you're not near your parents and
sure
you're not near a car where you're near a car, but you can't drive a half hour, an hour.
Right.
When we grew up, everybody's around each other, and you live in the next town, and it's just difficult.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Good to get back in rhythm here.
Well, I think a lot of people want to hear what you have to say about.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah. I haven't seen Bertrand yet, so I don't know. He's the champ now.
I want to talk to him because, I mean, yesterday was amazing.
He was great and a great sport and everything like
that. Couldn't have been better yesterday. So, once again, John from Vegas bid on being with Mark Bertrand. They have a history. They've been butting heads. And he had heard that Bertrand had somewhere he had to go and could only stay for a little bit. So just to piss off Mark Bertrand, he hired a professional ping pong player to play in the tournament with Bertrand.
Wait a minute. How do you hear Bertrand had somewhere to go?
He said it on the air.
He said it on the air.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently he's like, I can only be there for a little bit. And so, I mean, that's once again, I'm hearing all this secondhand. So he hired a guy.
Those Chinese ping pong players, they stand 10 feet away.
I don't know what the deal was and how he found them.
No, he told me, first of all, John from Vegas is outstandingly normal.
Must have had him.
Right.
He said his fiance.
I could play me some of that. Them buildings was big.
Well, it was.
He said, "Mama told me to run out that end zone." Do a Forrest Gump.
He wasn't very.
I know what you're doing.
But, yeah, but it was. It was. So he ended up playing every single round, and Bertrand ended up winning. So this guy, this professional ping pong player with Bertrand, they ended up winning it together. And so John from Vegas, because he was the guy who bid, had to come up and get the trophy. And he had a giant Sarge Suck sign. And they were like, hey, you know, would you like to say anything? And he was like, I just want to say I'm glad the charity got a ton of money. And finally, and he started going, Sarge Sucks, Sarge Sucks. And all these people are like, what's going on?
See, I didn't hear your entire show this morning, but I talked to a buddy that said he was there. And he said things got weird.
Okay.
Sarge took the mic.
Yeah, that's where it got weird, because the guys at Sarge Sucks, and then we were kind of wrapping it up, and like, hey, congratulations, and Michaela, who did a great job hosting, was about to take over, and all of a sudden, Sarge comes up and like tries to pull the microphone out of my hand and starts going, hey, I got something to say. Hey, Fred, you're fat. And
well, that's really good comeback.
I didn't even say anything. It wasn't even a comeback. It was just some random insult.
And I like Sarge a lot, but I was just like, this is not the time, dude. What are you doing? You know, go away. Like, we're giving the presentations, the trophy presentation.
And Michaela's supposed to grab the
Who?
The Wonger.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Wonger. I did not see him, but I know he was there.
And I heard his mother was there as well. If either his mother or his wife. I didn't see that.
His mother?
His wife.
His mother?
I think it was his wife. His wife, because he said like there. Lady Mrs. Wong or something. But
Wong mother. Yeah, that was
Wong
the thing.
Mother.
The Wong mother. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
it was the Wong father and the Wong mother. That's
yes,
what he
wife.
Said.
And it's no insult to anybody because I didn't see them. So it's not.
Do you think they're Sarge's godparents? Like, really? Like,
I wish.
Charge.
But I thought it was the ultimate troll. And by the way, as I said, Bertrand was great. And he even said on the microphone, he goes, John from Vegas told me that if we ended up winning the whole thing, that I would have to say Sarge Sucks on the radio. So I'm saying it right now. Sarge Sucks on the radio. I mean, Bertrand. And by the way, John from Vegas even afterwards goes, you know what? I didn't like Bertrand before tonight. I like that guy.
But that's not on the radio. He has to do it today, right?
I don't know what the rules are.
I think he's taking his lumps. He can.
And by the way, we can stop.
We should let this thing die.
I'm the same way. After last night, you can stop with the Sarge Sucks because you can't top that. That was the most epic troll job ever. You can't top it. Jim Gray sucks. If you want to do that, sure, that'd be fine.
By the way, Jim Gray is very nice to me. Good buddies.
Okay, let me just say this.
Stephen Graham stood 4 feet away.
He was not nice to me.
I have not tweeted out the Jim Gray interview.
Yeah,
I just did. So if you go to @TutcherandRich,
I did not hear it.
You can
Damn
finally it. You, no. You have to this. Watch it.
The
it's
interview
the video.
Is one thing. What he said to me off the air is an entirely other thing. I mean, I've never been talked to like that since I don't recall ever. I mean, swearing, insulting me, like all this stuff. But I'm glad that you got a chance to talk.
The champ has arrived.
The champ has arrived.
Bertrand.
Yeah, Bertrand was awesome yesterday. That was the whole situation was like. Weird, strange, amazing.
Oh, wow, you don't have hair on your face.
All right, thank you to everyone who came out last night, everyone who donated. That's going to do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.